In the book of Revelation chapter 9 for this morning, the fifth trumpet will sound here in Revelation chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose the smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men see death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue with his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Father God, as we pause once again this morning, Father, to look into this book of Revelation, to reveal the end of the age and what will happen to this earth one of these days, as you have been long-suffering and patiently have waited for some 2,000 years to give men an opportunity to reach out by faith and to trust you as Lord and Savior. And Father God, as we realize, as that song Curtis sang a few moments about, that we're not looking so much for the signs as we are listening for the call, to know that one of these days the trump of God will sound. And Father, we realize that your church is going to exit out of this world one of these days. And then according to the book of Revelation, these judgments will begin to fall upon this world. Oh God, how we pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit of the living God would fall fresh and anew upon each one of us. That God, we would live more fervently, more passionately to spread the gospel and to tell others about Jesus, who loved them so much that he came to die, to shed his blood for the remission of their sins and give them an opportunity to have eternal life. Father God, how I pray that you would use this sermon series to help us, oh God, to be prepared when that time should come, that we exit this life, God, that we will have left footprints on the sands of time to tell people how they could have received Christ during this time of the church. Oh God, how we pray for lost souls this morning to find you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we've been looking in the sermon series on the book of Revelation, and today is the 11th sermon that we've been looking at as we began in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. This morning we're in sermon number 11 in Revelation chapter 9 verses 1 through 12. I call this Soldiers of Satan. Now as you and I make our way through the book of Revelation, we can almost feel the heat as the fires of the days of the future tribulation will burn hotter as we look at each succeeding chapter here in God's Word. With the opening of the seventh seal, you realize we began to move into the period of judgment that is pronounced by the blowing of seven trumpets. When the first trumpets sounded. We looked at these last week. The first trumpet that was sounded of judgment, we saw hail and fire mingle with blood and was cast out upon this earth. And one third part of the trees were burned up and all the green grass as well. When the second angel sounded his trumpet, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Then when the third angel sounded his trumpet, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and that means bitter. The waters became bitter. Now, I mentioned a book last week called The Wormwood Prophecy by John Horn that is out, that deals a lot with space and NASA, and it deals with many of the asteroids that are up there in the second heavens above us that are floating around. And when you begin to read a book like that and you begin to read all the scientific data upon all of these, incredible thousands and thousands of pieces of debris in the heavens, some of those as tall as the pyramids, some of them miles and wide long, you can only imagine how that the book of Revelation comes to life when Jesus told us there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Well, the fourth trumpeter sounded his trumpet, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened. And the Bible says, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And then when we ended last Sunday morning, we saw that an angel flies through the midst of heaven. Now, some of the translations say an eagle. And the reason for that is because earlier translations uses the word eagle. Some of them use the word angel. Regardless whether it's an eagle or an angel, God created both of them. And God can use whatever means that he chooses to use in order to make a great announcement. But this eagle or angel, whichever it be, there is in the midst of heaven, flying through heaven, and says, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." In other words, at the end of chapter 8, we have this announcement in the midst of heaven that says, "Woe, woe, woe," because there's going to be three more angels to sound their trumpets, and their trumpet judgments are going to be more intensified than even the ones that we've already seen. And so, with the blowing now of this fifth trumpet here in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, the door to this bottomless pit is open, and smoke billows forth from that fiery furnace, and out of that smoke and darkness come these hideous, horrible, heinous, hurtful demons who invade and attack the entire world. Now, I believe that you and I are living right now in an age of demonic invasion. I believe that Satan realizes that his time is shorter than it's ever been, and there is a great intensification, which is scriptural, of what's going to happen in the last days of time. I believe we are being prepared for this age of demonic invasion. There's an increasing interest in our world today. There's a great awareness of demonism, of Satanism, of witchcraft and magic and the occult and astrologers and fortune tellers and soothsayers, and there are literally tens of millions of people that almost worship at their doorstep. Now, I'm convinced that the groundwork is being laid for this demonic invasion that will literally burst upon the world stage one of these days. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, this is an incredible story here. Notice in the first verse, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now, of the bottomless pit. Now, notice that this star here, it's not a literal star like the stars in the heaven, but it's a person. It's referring to a person that is fallen, that falls from heaven to the earth. Now, I believe that this is referring to Satan himself. One of the names for Satan is Lucifer, which means brightness. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied many years ago in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" I want you to think about that with me for just a minute this morning. I want you to look at the nations of the world today. Now, I don't know how many countries for sure there are in the world. It depends on what literature you read and which ones they consider really are countries. But I know there are some 193 countries, up to some 203 countries that are in the world. But I want you to know that Satan is trying every way in the world to weaken the nations of the world. I want you to think about America this morning. I want you to think about all the divisiveness. Let me tell you, whence comes the confusion of the world and all of the division and all of the turmoil and all of the confusion? I can tell you, folks, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood and personalities. What we're wrestling against are the powers of the darkness. We're wrestling against Satan. And I want you to know he's alive and he's well. And verse 1 there in the book of Revelation lets us know this. But here in the book of Isaiah, as he prophesied, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," this is what Satan said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." I want you to notice what Satan said. It was all about him. It was the big I. I will do this. I will do that. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. And so Satan, if you will remember, God created Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning. He was supposed to be one of the greatest of all of the created angels. He had great responsibility to lead music and to lead worship. I've often thought when Lucifer fell, now Isaiah didn't tell us this, but I've often thought he fell in the choir loft. And the reason I say that is because churches have had problems with music forever and ever and ever and ever, and will have until the end of time. Well, Satan was the choir master. He was the great worship leader of the created angels. And when he fell, he took a third of the created angels with him. And those are the demons that are out there in the world. And so, you know, Jesus even said this on one occasion to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." You see, it's Satan, I believe, here in chapter 9 that's given the key to the bottomless pit. He puts the key to the door and he opens a hellish Pandora box. and hordes of hellish demons are unloosed and unleashed to attack and to afflict all of humanity, except those that are sealed by God. Now, when that door is opened, one of these days, let me tell you, it's going to be a horrible, horrible event to happen. There's going to be an intensification and a flurry and a multiplication of foes as demons from hell take over the earth. Never before in the history of mankind have such powerful and pernicious creatures been witnessed. Let me tell you, Hollywood cannot make a story like this. I want you to know there's about 14 things about these demons that I want you to see this morning. Number one, these creatures are detained according to Revelation 9, 2, and 3. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose the smoke out of the pit and the smoke of a great furnace. Notice the fire there. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now these creatures, they've been imprisoned in what is called the bottomless pit. Where is that? Well, it's somewhere in the center of the earth. Somewhere. This literally translated would be the pit of abyss. This dungeon is somewhere in the heart of the earth. And we're told in other places of scripture about this particular prison and that it contains some of these fallen angels. When Satan rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven, now the Bible says that a third of the angels fell with him, and many of these angels became Satan's soldiers that you and I call demons, and they were chained and they were imprisoned in a dungeon of darkness. Let me prove that to you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Let me give you another reference, Jude. Jude is a little book in the Bible, has only one chapter. Look at verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, that's those fallen angels, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day, unto the judgment of the great day. Now, I know that there are millions of people in the world today that do not believe in a literal hell. Let me tell you, you know, one of the best ways to try to keep something from worrying you and bothering you is to believe that it isn't true. Amen? Well, folks, I want you to know there are a lot of people in the world that have decided that hell is not a literal place. But I want you to know Jesus spoke more about hell than he ever did about heaven. Hell is a real place. It's a place of unmitigated horror. And this abyss, somewhere in the core of the earth, this dungeon, it's so horrible that not only do the demons that are there want to get out, but the ones that roam the earth don't want in there. You will remember, I'm sure, that when Jesus was about to cast out the demons out of the Gadarene demoniac over there in the book of Luke, chapter 8, 31, and they begged Jesus. Jesus was fixing to cast these demons out of this person. And the demons knew who Jesus was. They knew the truth. They begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. And if you remember, Jesus cast them into a whole group of swine that ran down over the hilltop and were cast into the sea. Now we're told here in this passage of scripture in Revelation that when this pit to the bottomless abyss is opened, that smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. Do you remember, anybody ever been to Carlsbad Cavern? Well, many years ago when it was first discovered by a Texas cowboy by the name of Jim White, he was riding his horse, and all of a sudden he just saw it looked like a humongous cloud of smoke coming out of the ground. And as he rode over there, what he discovered, it was millions upon millions of bats that were coming up out of Carlsbad Cavern. And it looked like smoke. So you can only imagine here as we read this passage of Scripture how that this, all of these locusts, these creatures that have been bound in this abyss because of their sin unto God, they've been chained in everlasting darkness here until God wants them to be released and used as a judgment to sinful man one of these days on the face of the earth. Jesus compared hell to a furnace of fire in Matthew 13. I want you to think about a place that is so hot, that is so dark, that is so terrible that even the demons don't want to go there. And that will tell you just how terrible and horrible hell is going to be one of these days. Satan is then given this key in this passage to the bottomless pit. Now, contrary to public opinion, Satan is not the ruler of hell. Hello? Did y'all know that? Satan's not the ruler of hell. As a matter of fact, he's not even in hell this morning, but he will be cast into the lake of fire according to the Bible, according to the book of Revelation, one of these days. But we're told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, that God has the keys of Hades and death. Satan is not the king of hell. He's the chief prisoner that's going to be one of these days when he is cast into the lake of fire forever. We sometimes get the idea, I'm afraid, that Jesus and Satan are equals, but not so. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus has all authority that has been given to him by God the Father. And Jesus has authority of Satan himself. So Satan is limited by the power that the Lord Jesus Christ allows him to have. But in chapter 9, in this prison, this bottomless pit, are these inmates. They're so wicked, they would make the prisoners at Rikers Island look like school choir boys. So here in this text for this morning, it's a literal hell of godless, demonic hordes that are chained in a prison of darkness, who even now are clanging their chains. They're crying out to be released so that they can wreak havoc upon the sons of men. And when that day comes in the future, when Satan takes that key and he unlocks that door, all hell is going to break loose upon this earth. Can you imagine this morning what this world would be if all of the prisoners in all of the prisons all over the world that have committed heinous, horrible, murderous acts, can you only imagine if they were released and there were no law enforcement, no policemen? My goodness gracious, what's the matter with America? Wanting to get rid of the policemen. Folks, let me tell you, if there's ever a time Americans need to stand up, we need to stand up now for the law enforcement. They're the ones. Who do you call when you need somebody? We call them. They're there. And so, let me tell you, we're living in a strange, strange time. There's a second point this morning. I've got to hurry to get through 14 of them. Don't worry, I'll get you there. I'll land this plane, I promise you. Secondly, these creatures are demonic. Notice verse 3, then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27 tells us that locusts do not have a king. But here we're told in verse 11 in Revelation 9 that these have a demonic king. These locust creatures are demons. These are fallen angels. These are soldiers of Satan. And they will be loosed to do his bidding. So they are demonic. Thirdly, these creatures are deadly. These creatures are deadly. Verse 3. Part B says, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, these creatures have the power to sting like a scorpion. Now, while most scorpion stings are not fatal, they are extremely painful, so I've been told. Anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? Well, there is a species of scorpion which can cause death by their stings. In fact, I've read where there are more deaths that have been caused along the Mexican border by scorpion stings than any other stinging or biting creatures. And here in Revelation, these creatures will give a sting that is excruciatingly painful and for which there will be no cure or relief. Fourthly, these creatures are destructive. It's not coincidental that they're called locusts. One of the most destructive creatures known to man is the locust. In fact, in recent months, we've seen how these locust swarms in Africa and the Middle East, how they are decimating the crops of the food that are there. I've read that locusts can fly 1,206 miles nonstop, and that one swarm can consume in a day the food of 10 million people. I believe this is simply a picture here in Revelation of just how destructive these demonic creatures are going to be. Fifthly, this morning, these creatures are deterred. Obviously, if God allowed these creatures, they could destroy humanity from the face of the earth, but they're restrained in their activity. They're limited. They can only go so far, and then they can go no farther. First of all, notice their time is limited. Verse 5a, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them, speaking of people, for 5 months. Notice their time during the tribulation will be limited to 5 months. Now, it just so happens that the normal lifespan of the locust is only 5 months, from May to September. Those who do not have the seal of God on their forehead will escape the pain and the prison. Those that are God's, that God has protected during this time, only them will escape the sting of these. Their targets are limited. Notice verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Remember, God had already sealed 144,000. Remember that? Keep in mind that the blast of the woe trumpets, they're not directed to all who live on the earth, but only to those who love this old world. Verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Horns means authority there, power, which is before God. If you'll remember, I pointed out earlier that the word for inhabitants doesn't refer to earth dwellers, but rather to earth lovers. And God's people are going to be protected from the wrath of God during the great tribulation. Remember, God's people may be under the wrath of man. God's people may be tortured. God's people may be persecuted. God's people may be beheaded and killed for their faith during this time. But they will always be protected from the wrath of God. Jesus made a promise. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because you have kept, speaking of the church, my command to persevere, I also will keep you from that. That preposition from is in the Greek ek, which means I will keep you out of the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That word for dwell is the same word that's used for inhabitant. In verse 13, God's wrath during the great tribulation will not be directed toward his people. It's going to be directed toward those whose allegiance are to this earth and to this world and not to him. But God's people, according to this, who have the seal on their foreheads, will be protected from these terrible, heinous, horrible, demonic creatures. And that's what Revelation 3:10 is speaking about, being kept from the hour of trial. And so their torment is going to be limited. Let me tell you, these creatures are not allowed to kill, but they are allowed to create great havoc and pain upon people. Verse 10, they had tails like scorpions. Verse 10, they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt me in 5 months. Well, the sixth thing about these demonic creatures, they're demoralizing. Look in verse 6. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. Let me tell you, people will want to die that are being tormented by these, but they won't be able to die. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The stings of these demonic locusts produce an agony and an anguish so great that men who normally flee from death will try to find it and end their miseries. In that day, people will desire to die, but they can't, because Jesus is the one who holds the keys of death. In that day, he will refuse to unlock that door. Seventh thing about these creatures, they are defiant. Look at verse 7. And the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. Throughout the book of Revelation, the horse is always a picture of a symbol of defiance. These high metal steeds, they're pictured with their heads reared, their nostrils flared, their manes flying in the wind, almost as if to say, stop us if you can, but they cannot be stopped. There's an eighth thing characteristic about these demonic creatures. They are determined, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold. In the Bible, crowns were always a picture of authority, of dominion and power. And this tells us that these creatures can go wherever they want to go. They can do whatever they want to do, and no one can stop them. They can conquer in their path. They're invincible to power. They're impervious to pain. Man has no military weapon that will be able to stop them. Doctors will have no medicine that will affect them. Scientists will have no potion that can render them helpless. There's another ninth characteristic about them. They're deliberate. Verse 7 says, and their faces were like the faces of men. This tells us they're intelligent. They're very cunning. They're very clever. Now, the devil has always been cunning and clever. There's a tenth characteristic. These creatures are devious. Look at verse 8. They had hair like a woman's hair. A woman's hair is her glory. It's one part of the woman that makes her beautiful and attractive to those that look upon her. And this tells us that these demonic creatures are going to be strangely attractive. There's something about them that's both horribly and seductively beautiful. Paul explicitly warned us that in the last days there would be many who would give heed to deceiving spirits. Even Satan himself dresses himself. The Bible says Satan appears as an angel of light. And these demons will be devious and they'll be deceptive. But notice 11th characteristic, they will also be devouring. Verse 8 says, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. We're told in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan walks about like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And so you see the two parts of these demonic creatures. They're, it's beauty and the beast. I've read where the teeth of a lion not only can inflict a great wound upon you, but when it bites, its teeth are filled with infection that it's almost impossible to recover from his bite. Likewise, it will be literally impossible to recover from these stings and the bites of whatever these demonic creatures are. But there's a 12th characteristic about them. They're degenerate. Look at verse 9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. Their hearts, in other words, are made out of steel. They have no mercy for their victims. They will have no remorse. And let me tell you, you can only imagine the moans of mercy that will be crying out. I want you to think about the Charles Mansons of this world. They were doing a documentary on him the other night. That demonic picture of him, a heart of stone, a heart that absolutely had no remorse, that had absolutely a heart of stone about him. He could kill and never give it a second thought. There's a 13th characteristic about these demonic creatures. In Revelation chapter 9, they will be deafening. Verse 9 says, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. If you can only imagine these sounds, these thundering, deafening sounds like the chariots of horsemen running. If you can only imagine, I can't even begin to, in my finite mind, even begin to comprehend what this is all going to be like. But I do know this, it's something that every person better think about and want to escape, amen. The 14th characteristic, and I'm through. These creatures, they're devoted. These creatures are devoted. It says, and they had as king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek his name is Apollyon. In English his name would be Destroyer, because Satan is the great destroyer. Let me tell you, I realized this morning, this isn't a very pleasant sermon to preach. In fact, it would be very frightening to some. But I believe that the reason the Holy Spirit goes into so much detail in the book of Revelation to describe this horrible time that's coming in this world is in order to warn people. Let me tell you, God always sends a warning before God sends judgment. For 2,000 years, God has been warning this world, I'm coming one of these days. For 120 years, Noah warned, the flood's coming, it had never rained. They said, you're crazy. But after 120 years, God put Noah and his other seven family members in the ark, closed the door, sealed it up. The rains began to fall and people began to cry and scream for help. You see, they cried and they prayed, but their prayer was too late. I want you to know, one of these days, according to the scripture, according to the Bible, as Billy Graham would always say when he would stand and preach, the Bible says. Let me tell you, the Bible is my standard. The Bible is God's standard. The Bible is the truth of the Word of God. And God says, one of these days, I'm going to judge this world again. It's not going to be with a flood, but it's going to be with fire. Let me tell you, this world is rocking and reeling and teetering and tottering this morning. And if there ever was a time in all of my life that I understand the book of Revelation, I understand it today more than I've ever understood it, because I've seen the whole world change in the past 3 months. I see what this is speaking about plagues and pestilences and diseases that are coming upon this world one of these days. Folks, so let me tell you, the greatest decision you'll ever make in life is to reach out by faith and to trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, one of these days, all of our degrees, all of our awards, all of our medals, all of our accolades of praise will mean absolutely nothing and will pale into insignificance when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords steps out into the clouds and calls his saints out of this world. Let me tell you, my advice to the world is this: reach out by faith and trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. He is the only hope that there is in this world. Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the words of truth, oh God, that mirror a reflection of where this sinful world is. God, I pray for those that are lost. Oh, Holy Spirit of the living God, bring them to a saving knowledge. And yet I know that as we look at the book of Revelation, even in the days of the tribulation, they will pray, they will blaspheme the God of heaven, and they'll pray for the rocks and mountains to hide them rather than repenting and turning to you. Oh God, I pray if somebody's listening today, wherever they may be, oh God, or will tune into this broadcast, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would turn their heart to you. I pray, oh God, they would pray a prayer such as this: Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. I know that you died and shed your blood to cover my sins. I know you rose from the dead over death, hell, and the grave. I know you ascended back to heaven where you're praying for me today. And I know you're coming again. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I want to be ready when you come and call me out of this world. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life and save me today. Oh, Father God, I pray somewhere someone has prayed or will pray that prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all human understanding in every born-again child of God's heart and life. Oh God, help us to press onward and upward and to lift high the banner of the cross. Father, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name.